भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम द सेवेंथ कैंटो ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम चैप्टर 7 एंटाइटल्ड व्हाट प्रह्लाद लर्न इन द वूम टेक्स्ट नंबर 34। निशम्य कर्माणि गुणान तुल्यान् वीर्याणि नीलातनुभिः कृतानि यदति हर्षोत्पुलकाश्रु गद्गदम् प्रोत्कण्ठ उद्गायति रौति नृत्यति। Nishamyakar translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One who is situated in devotional service is certainly the controller of his senses, and thus he is a liberated person. When such a liberated person, the pure devotee, hears the transcendental qualities and activities of Lord's incarnations for performance of various pastimes, his hair stands on end of his body. Tears fall from his eyes, and in spiritual realization, his voice falters. Sometimes he very openly dances, sometimes he sings loudly, and sometimes he cries. Thus he expresses his transcendental jubilation. Purport. The Lord's activities are uncommon. For example, when he appeared as Lord Ramchandra, he performed uncommon activities like bridging the ocean. Similarly, when Lord Krishna appeared, he raised the Govardhan Hill when he was only 7 years of age. These are uncommon activities. Fools and rascals who are not in the transcendental position consider these uncommon activities of the Lord to be mythological. But when a pure devotee, the liberated person, hears about such uncommon activities of the Lord, he immediately becomes ecstatic and exhibits the symptoms of chanting, dancing, crying very loudly and jubilantly. This is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. One who is situated in Hare Krishna. So I seek the blessings of all this. Assembled senior devotees. My voice is also like gadgadam, faltering, because I'm embarrassed to speak on such a verse which is way beyond my comprehension. Hair standing on end, tears falling. The first line of the verse, one who is situated in devotional service is certainly the controller of his senses. Actually, this is not the part of the verse. It is connecting the previous verses. In this whole chapter, only text number 34 and text number 35 are the verses where Prahlad Maharaj is explaining or kind of extending the knowledge given to his classmates to a higher level, where he actually is showing some esoteric symptoms or ecstatic symptoms of pure devotees. Now, all the students, it is very interesting to understand the theme of this chapter, how the verses, the flow of the verses. All the classmates are just newcomers in Krishna consciousness that way. They are learning the basic philosophy. And this is the first time where the students have inquired to Prahlad, how come you have learnt all these things? Please can you explain from where you learnt it? So Prahlad Maharaj, so far he was giving tits and bits of information and not a systematic way of how he learned things like that. So now when his classmates are asking, then he starts speaking how he actually learned all these things right from the womb. And when he explains all basic philosophy throughout the chapter about the futility of this material world and how remembrance of the Lord helps us to get out of such entanglement. Only in this verse, suddenly, last verse, he's speaking about how by these activities one is able to cut down the influence of enemies like lust, greed, illusion, etc. And suddenly he says, when liberated personalities hear the pastimes of the Lord, they jump and dance in ecstasy. There is no connection as such, one verse to another. Therefore, Prabhupada is actually just connecting it. That, who is a liberated person? The previous verse says, one who follows the process, he becomes fixed in devotional service. Therefore, Prabhupada says, one who is situated in devotional service, he is controller of senses and therefore he is a liberated person. And therefore this verse begins, that when a liberated person hears. So this is just a connection. But we see that all the children, all the classmates who are assembled, they are very new to the process. And yet Prahlad Maharaj is explaining some esoteric symptoms of pure devotees, or the symptoms of persons who are almost perfected their lives. And these two verses he has kind of sandwiched. He has given the taste, what is the actual taste of performing Krishna consciousness. This he gives in verse number 34, 35, and rest all he is just explaining, not just, he is explaining the futility of the material world. So, it is very interesting to know how, why Prahlad Maharaj, I was wondering that why would Prahlad Maharaj, when he is speaking to people who don't know anything about Krishna consciousness or the path of spiritual life, and he is explaining about esoteric system, right? In just few verses. So Prabhupada, in the purport he says, he mentions that when pure devotees, when they hear these pastimes, they get into ecstasy. And when fools they hear, they start either deriding what as Bhagavad Gita explains, avajananti mamuda, Krishna says. Fools and rascals, when they see me performing, as the Bhagavatam, the first canto, Shukdev Goswami explains that Krishna and Balram, Kritavana Kilakarmani, Guda Kapata Manusha, they perform pastimes, they hide themselves in the human aspect, in the human form, and they perform pastimes, which then seem to be very ordinary. Like Prabhupada here, he is explaining the pastime of Lord Ramchandra building an ocean. Normally we can understand that somebody can build a bridge, that is okay. But with monkeys, it's impossible to comprehend. So such are the pastimes. And therefore, to understand these pastimes with normal conscience or normal intelligence, it is not possible. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is explaining the processes how one can be freed or one can revive his higher intelligence in the form of anartha nivritti. In fact, when people, they use their contaminated intelligence to try to understand the Lord, then they are bereft of the higher science or the higher understanding or the higher ecstasies which they can actually access. And although by all common sense they will try to deny the existence of God, still when a person proclaims something, it is meant to, suppose I speak something which I am convinced of, that should give me some pleasure and satisfaction that I have established some truth. That is not in the case of atheism or when one tries to deride the personality of Godhead. That even though they try to establish that by hearing such pastimes or such ecstasies which they cannot understand, they try to deride the personality. And yet, there is no satisfaction or happiness which they derive by that. As I read a saying, which said that it is an atheist is impossible. It is impossible to become an atheist. It's just not possible. Because conscience and guilt are actually the function of the soul. So which is the soul has one of the functions of the chit feature to be knowledge, which is the true knowledge about the absolute personality. And when one tries to deny that, he can never be satisfied. And therefore, in such a condition, one needs to actually purify his mind and intelligence so that he can understand such pastimes. Otherwise, it is impossible. And when one tries to understand these pastimes with material intelligence, then there are two kinds of deviations which we can broadly categorize. First is that you become people become outright atheists and they develop profound atheistic philosophies. And secondly, although they have belief in God, they have this concept of impersonalism or Mayavad. Or rather, even if they have personalism, they don't have a proper understanding by the form of Sahajiyas or Apasampradayas. So the right mood of understanding the pastimes has to be understood. Otherwise, these kind of statements, hair standing on end, tears falling from eyes, it's very difficult to comprehend unless a proper mood is set. Therefore, the purification involves two aspects when we want to understand this pastime. I cannot speak on the verse as such, but I'll try to speak something which gives a reference to how to understand these pastimes. The first aspect of purification is anartha nivritti, which Prahlad Maharaj actually speaks throughout, in the beginning and the end. 34 and 35 only refer to some esoteric pastimes, some ecstatic symptoms. Rest all is analysis of the material world, mind and intelligence. So in anartha nivritti, if it was possible, basically Prahlad Maharaj further he says that all the processes, all the philosophies, all what he's explaining throughout is supposed to purify the mind and intelligence. But why he speaks such symptoms in between, and he speaks about glorification specifically of the Lord, because he says anartha nivritti on its own is incomplete. It's not possible to get purified by anartha nivritti. If it was possible, then there was no need to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, when we say anartha nivritti to a sadhaka, when he begins practicing spiritual life, he tries to purify himself by taking vows, rigid vows, so that in front of the spiritual master. Taking vows is not actually that a very great thing as such. In one sense, it's an embarrassment. We are actually submitting ourselves that we are so conditioned that we are naturally, we can fall into temptation. That is why we take a vow, the four regulative principles. It is just one kind of negation of the material energy, the negative part. So it is not complete on its own. Therefore, Prabhupada, apart from following the four regulative principles, he said one should chant. One should chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because without that, there will be no substantial purification. Anartha Nivritti on its own, the whole process. Say, any kind of vows which are explained in the Vedic scriptures, the vows of marriage, the vows of celibacy or whatever, they mean that we are actually, it is very natural for us to commit the mistakes. People may feel proud of performing some kind of thing. But vow means it's a burden and unnatural condition which we are putting. It's a stress which we put, we accept. We try to constrain ourselves for our own purification. That is a vow. So the whole process of anartha nivritti is like that. So just on the basis of anartha nivritti, one cannot be just purified. It is impossible. Therefore, at various places, Krishna also explains in the Bhagavatam. In fact, in the 11th canto, he speaks to Uddhava very nicely that whatever amount of vows you do, whatever practice you do, it will never bring the essence or purify you until it is dedicated, engaged, dotted in loving service unto me. He says, dharma satya daya peto vidya va tapasanvita. Even by dharma, by following religious duties, by satya, truthfulness, daya, by mercy, tapasya, or vidya, even by studying all the Vedic scriptures. Mad bhaktya petam atmanam. Without rendering devotional service unto me, na samyak prapunatihi. It is not possible to get rid of this contamination by any kind of process. And therefore we see that even Vyasadeva, when he tried to establish these truths, he glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead throughout in the form of Vedic literatures and Upanishads. But they were more or less kind of an impersonal way of glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he was not satisfied. Therefore, it did not bring him pleasure. And therefore, Narad Muni told, Vishvakshena Katasuya. Unless you actually glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it will be just almost like Shramevahi Kevalam. Just mere labor. Some futile or some kind of intellectual satisfaction may be achieved, but there will not be a genuine joy which one can experience. And therefore, in fact, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in one of the articles I was reading, he writes very nicely. He says to some of his devotees who have already spent some years in Krishna consciousness, he's telling, that just merely focusing on anartha nivritti will not get you anywhere. He says it is just another form of impersonalism. Very interesting, he says. When a person just focuses on anartha nivritti, on trying to purify, the main focus is to trying to purify one's existence. When it is just that, it is just another form of impersonalism. He says specifically that is shunyavad. And even one, if he is purified, he will be lost. He will be confused. And therefore he says, anartha nivritti is okay, but there also has to be artha pravritti. Or doing something positive, which will actually gain, which will help you to relish the process. Otherwise it is impossible. That's why we see that sometimes even after chanting for few years or many years or whatever, sometimes devotees fall in such situations where they experience faithlessness in Krishna. When such sometimes some trying situations come, they are confused even after chanting for few years and following the process. That itself shows that the focus on anartha nivritti was there, but there was not sufficient artha pravritti or a positive engagement which actually helps to mature the understanding of the process. Therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to tell that one must hear the pastimes of Krishna with his pure devotees, with the gopas and the gopis and the cowherd boys and other pastimes of Vrindavan. If one does not hear, he will never be able to continue the process of practicing sadhana bhakti. It is very difficult. We can relate Prabhupada at various places, he says that even Mayavadis, they are supposedly more pure. But yet, even after being so-called pure and disciplined, they fall down after millions of years. Why? Anartha nivritti was there. That they were freed from so-called lust, greed, anger, pride, envy, illusion. But because there was not an actual positive thing in the process of Krishna consciousness or devotion to Krishna, therefore they fall down because of lack of fulfillment in the heart. Therefore, actually, Prahlad Maharaj, when he's speaking the basic philosophies, he's introducing these two verses where he's indicating the ecstatic symptoms of pure devotees which manifest when one understands the pastimes of the Lord. He's trying to make to introduce positive concepts to his classmates by these verses. Then another aspect of then there is a trap in artha pravritti, another aspect of purification, artha pravritti. which people try to do when they hear such pastimes, they try to imitate artificially, which we call as sahajiyas or the apasampradayas. Actually, the real difference between whether this pastime, whether these symptoms are genuine or not, we can understand. Where Prabhupada, where pure devotees, they always restrict themselves in exhibition of this kind of symptoms to normal conditioned souls. In at least I remember two or three lectures where Prabhupada is speaking about some personalities, like once he is speaking about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, another time he is speaking about Bhishma Dev. He chokes up and you can actually see he is almost broken down into tears. But then he immediately changes the topics or he ends the discussion. Why does he do that? He could very easily exhibit these symptoms and prove himself to be a greater personality than what he actually is if he wanted to do that. But pure devotees restrict. And sahajiyas are those people who don't restrict. They just try to imitate. I remember when I was young in Nairobi, that time there was a lady who, we went to that place and my parents told, a great Krishna devotee is going to come today. And very special devotee. So I did not know, but I thought some mystic magic and something is going to happen. So when she came, then there was a bhajan session. And in the bhajan session, suddenly she started jumping and rotating and dancing and performing all type of steps. Now I understood like how the gopis may be doing. So she started doing such dances. And then the entire focus on the photographs and the deities were shifted to this personality. Because that dance was so ecstatic. That was known to be an exhibition of pure devotion. And then they called me and told, see, this is the greatness of this personality. I could not understand. But later it happened on many couple of such occasions that whenever there was bhajan, she would suddenly stand up and start dancing, and all the people used to give way and they used to fold their hands as if symptoms of pure devotees. But then, later, after many years, I never understood what it was. But when, after coming to the movement, after I read about such symptoms and sahajiyas, that time I came to know. There was one very specific thing which was seen in her. That at one particular such instant, there was a bhajan going on and she was disallowed to dance. Basically, she danced and people said, you cannot dance here because some big dignitaries have come. They will, when big people come, they have a sophisticated way of even doing worship. Everything disciplined. You just clap this much, smile this much, everything. So they felt that by behaving this way, it will cause disturbance to the environment. And when she was told, she felt so offended. And then the next day, there was bhajan at someone's place. She again tried to dance, but they abruptly ended the bhajan in a minute. And then she felt so offended, she also actually quarreled with some of the people that, what are you trying to do? Why you are... I'm in such a mood, you're just curtailing it, you're forcing me not to worship the Supreme Personality. So this, if one is actually a pure devotee, first of all, he naturally wants to curtail the symptoms. Why should he feel offended also? This later I came to know that, that means there's nothing really substantial. There is an attempt to jump over by hearing such pastimes or ecstasies. These symptoms which are explained, they are naturally obtained by one who is advancing in Krishna consciousness. Not that by doing such things one advances. It is the other way round. And therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, so specifically he was particular about also explaining what is artha pravritti. In specific connection to the sahajiyas and the apasampradayas, he explained. He said, anartha nivritti is certainly essential for everyone, that one must do. But the focus should be actually glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he said, artha pravritti specifically means hearing the pastimes of hearing the loving pastime of Krishna with his pure devotees. He says, including the gopis and the cowherd boys, Mother Yashoda, etc. He says, unless we hear such pastimes, natural affection and attraction for the thing will not develop. But at the same time, when some of Prabhupada's disciples, when they tried to understand this thing by their intelligence, Prabhupada discouraged them. He said, because it is not your level, sometimes you may land up becoming like sahajiyas or behaving in an unnatural way. But yet at the same time, it was not that Prabhupada wanted that people should not at all ever come across or read anything about Krishna with his pure devotees and such pastimes. Otherwise, why would they? In fact, says the Prabhupada says, the very fact that it has been given to in this world, that means it is for the conditioned people. But not to be imitated and not to be understood without guidance and proper authority. Without proper siddhant. That is what they wanted to establish. And that is what Prahlad Maharaj does. He explains this as ecstatic symptoms, but immediately after that he again explains the basic philosophy. Immediately before that he explains. So he, Prahlad Maharaj, also setting the right mood. He's clubbing the entire, like in a sandwich, the main thing is the middle part, or in a burger, the main tastiest thing is the middle part. But unless those fillers are there, that also does not give taste. So similarly, when we hear any pastimes, or when we try to read or understand any pastimes of Krishna with his pure devotees, whether they are gopis or gopas or anything, unless they are understood with proper siddhanta, there will be deviation. Then those pastimes will be taken cheaply. That is what Prabhupada and our acharyas were always so careful, that every living entity, that's why they actually restricted. In fact, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that throughout my entire life, in his final days, he was saying that throughout my entire life, I spent to establish proper philosophical principles and cutting down the jungles of Mayavad and impersonalism. Unless those jungles were removed, how could actually bhakti come up? How could the seed and the plant of bhakti be sown? He said, my entire life I have spent on these things. But he said, this does not mean that this itself on its own is Krishna consciousness. That is why when sometimes, of course I am speaking something beyond my experience, but of course it is to my knowledge since almost a decade or so, that there are many other organizations which are trying to take advantage by minimizing Prabhupada, saying that the movement has only the basic philosophy, you are not this body, the soul. Come to us and we'll give you higher. And there are so many such organizations. And so many devotees leave the process or the movement thinking that there is something higher being given there. In fact, it is not like that. Even our own acharyas and Prabhupada, they never wanted that the focus should only be this. Therefore, throughout in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we see that everywhere the devotees are told, focusing on Krishna, what is this 9 processes which are explained? They are nothing but a higher science, the 9 processes. And in fact, Prabhupada also, he goes even one step ahead. He says in the Krishna book, where he says that, even if the pastimes of these gopis are for appear to be mundane and lusty, but if a conditioned soul, provided he reads literature from bona fide and authoritative sources with proper direction and guidance, then it will produce purification. Otherwise, it is impossible. So that way we can understand that it was not that the mood of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, or specifically Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Prabhupada, not that the mood was just focusing on anartha nivritti all the time, but it was a positive aspect of devotional service, of rendering service to Krishna. In fact, I don't remember exactly. Somebody had asked a question to Jananivas Prabhu that how do we actually understand that we are getting purified, and how many years it takes? How do we know that anartha nivritti is being, we are actually getting purified so that we can focus on higher truths? So Jananivas Prabhu gave a fantastic answer. He said, I don't even know whether I am being purified or not. My simply focus is my service, doing the service in the best way. So that is actually what is called Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur refers as artha pravrti. Rather than the focus being on the self and improvement, a positive focus on how we can actually serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly, all the time, how we can remember. That's why Prabhupada actually established all these principles of service and engagement. If that was not there, this actually shows, just like in the Nectar of Devotion, the very fact that you see the dusk, that means the sun is there. You see dawn means sun is there. The twilight in the morning, that means there is sun. It explains the very fact you see that there is sadhana bhakti, or the processes of purifying oneself, that means there is also a dynamic, super excellent, pure, ecstatic existence also. That is what is actually the process of artha pravritti. And this is what our acharyas always wanted. That rather than, therefore, whenever we read any bhajans or say we, many of the bhajans, you see, they are on lalasa mahi or like greed about Lord, about the ecstatic things. But they are not actually, our acharyas have not taught any of the processes independently. That we just focus on that and don't focus on the basic. It is that always the siddhanta follows. It is never that it does not, any of them is taken independently. Unless it is understood this way, then there will be big confusion in understanding. Therefore, in fact, Krishna further, Prahlad Maharaj explains, it is not that only when one becomes purified, when the anarthas are removed, that such symptoms manifest. Of course, this is, they say that by, when one is becoming pure, the more and more one is absorbed in devotional service, then by the power of the fire of the devotion, all the anarthas are vanquished. In text number 33, very interesting, the translation, the devotee is then freed from material contamination because he constantly thinks of Lord's pastimes. So this means that because of constantly thinking of the Lord's pastimes or completely absorbed, then a devotee is freed. Otherwise, sometimes we feel that it's not possible. Why should we read something? Sometimes Krishna book or Krishna pastimes are not very palatable to the material mind, because we cannot simply understand the loving service. We cannot understand the aspect of loving God. And then we feel that because we are impure, we cannot understand. And therefore, let's first purify ourselves so that we can understand. But Krishna, in the 11th canto, he speaks to Uddhava. He says that even if the great saintly people, they are continuously absorbed in the pastimes of the Lord, always meditating on me. But he says, but because they are not completely relieved or completely purified, therefore the material desires keep hankering them, keep disturbing them. But because they are determined, they have courage and determination, these two qualities. Because of that, and because of constant engagement and remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he becomes purified. So it is not that we become purified, then only there will be constant engagement and remembrance. In fact, it has to be adapted in our lives, and in a way, it's a process actually. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that in the same purport, he says that he gives this example. Just as a warrior in a battlefield, he's fighting, he may get wounds, he may get hurt, he may fall down. But if he has courage, he will again stand up and keep fighting. So he says, similarly, this is of a devotee. That these are anarthas you are keeping on fighting, but because the courage and determination is there and one keeps trying to understand the pastimes of Lord and keeps reading them, tries to keep himself engaged, with that force he gets purified. And therefore, it is actually the other way around, that the more we engage in artha pravritti or positive pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the more we read. Prabhupada also encouraged every day one should read Krishna book and the pastimes. But just because simply by hearing, it may not appeal to the logic, mind and intelligence. But simply by hearing, one develops attraction and one's heart will be purified. And then one will be able to actually with full courage and determination engage himself more and more, and then he becomes purified. In fact, even before he becomes completely purified, these symptoms manifest. In conclusion, in the 11th canto, the very interesting verse where Krishna speaks to Uddhava, he says that katham vina roma harsham dravata chetasa vina, that if one's hair don't stand on end, katham vina roma harsham, one's hair dravata chetasa vina, if one's hair don't stand on end, one's heart will not melt. If one's heart does not melt, how will he do devotional service? And if he does not do devotional service, how will he be purified? The conclusion is like that. So it's a... what Bhagavad Gita, it says, when one is purified, one constantly thinks and engages. But then Bhagavatam says this thing similarly in a slightly reverse way, apparently. Unless the hair stand on end, there will be no melting of the heart. If there is no melting of the heart, there is no question of tears in the eyes. When there is no tears in the eyes, vina ananda ashru, and then kalaya shuddhyet, there will be no purification. And if these things don't happen, how will there be purification? So we understand that not that these things are to be artificially imitated or they manifest only for pure devotees. But if one actually absorbs himself in this pastime, then the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, more specifically, Krishna's pastimes are more incomprehensible. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as a sadhaka, he taught how the same mood. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said actually that Lord Chaitanya sent me personally to teach to the entire world how to do service in separation and how to love Krishna. These are the only two things for which he said, which I came. But there was too much of my time got up in cleaning the Mayavad. And this. So we must understand this thing, that one must try to learn, read, hear the pastimes of Krishna is difficult to comprehend, but Mahaprabhu and his close associates, how it's the same mood. And that is what is the actual mood of our parampara. I'm very sorry, this verse has nothing to do with my realization that way. But I thank you very much. If anyone has any questions, some senior devotees can answer. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki.